The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Today is what is traditionally referred to as Gaudete Sunday. This word, Gaudete, means rejoice in Latin. It actually comes from today's second reading. Rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. Normally, outside of the season of Advent, we use white to symbolize the joy of the gospel. But because Advent is like a little Lent where we use purple, we end up mixing the two. So we have we have the joy of the gospel, but an expectation, a waiting for our Lord to come. And so we combine the two to give us the pink candle, to give us pink vestments, or rose, I think is what the official documents say. Now, you're probably wondering at the chasuble I'm wearing today. It's a little different. Well, I went into the sacristy a couple weeks ago to find the pink vestments, and apparently we don't own any here at the parish, so I had to pull this out of storage. It was a gift that some friends had given to me. It's fell out of use. It was used maybe 50 plus years ago, pretty common, but it's fell out of use. But even if it is an older vestment, it still conveys the message of today, to rejoice always in the Lord. St. Paul, in the second reading, makes it very clear why he's telling us to rejoice. Because the Lord is near. This is the joy of Advent. And really, it's the joy of our everyday life. That Jesus Christ is very, very near to us. He is nearer each and every day. And St. Paul gives us the key to understanding the origin of any unhappiness we may feel. And really, it comes down to one thing, putting distance between us and God. "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you," said the angel to Mary. It is the nearness of God which makes the virgin rejoice. And the nearness of the Messiah will make the unborn Baptist show forth his joy in the womb of Elizabeth. And the angel will say to the shepherds, "Be not afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born the Savior this day." Joy, then, is to possess Jesus. Unhappiness is to lose him. Throughout the gospel, we hear of multitudes of people flocking to our Lord, gathering around him, including children. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen children willingly gather around someone who's unhappy, who's gloomy, who's grumpy, who's always angry? Not willingly. They might be forced to if the parents are telling them, hey, go say hi to the grumpy person down the street. Okay, but normally, you know, like the natural tendency is that children are drawn to joyful people. I can only imagine what kind of joy radiated from our Lord that would draw crowds of people and throngs of children. And I can only imagine the joy that was radiated back to Christ from the face of those children that he encountered. After the dark days that follow Christ's passion, the risen Jesus will appear many times to his disciples. And the evangelist will be pointing out over and over again that the apostles were glad when they saw the Lord. They will never forget those meetings which filled their souls with such indescribable joy. It's this closeness to Christ that brings us that joy. Rejoice, says St. Paul to us today. And we have good reason for doing so. And one surpassing reason above all, that the Lord is near. Each and every day he is nearer. We can come close to him whenever we want to, but it's very much us that have to make that effort. Christ is there waiting for us constantly. He's always waiting for us. Just to turn towards him, just to say, Lord, please be near to me. That's all he asks. He will never force us to turn to him. He will never force us against our own free will to do anything that we don't want. But he does ask us to turn to him and ask him for his nearness. Soon it will be Christmas, a great feast for us Christians, but also for the whole human race, which, without knowing it, is looking for Christ. Christmas is coming, and God wants us to be joyful, like the shepherds, like the wise men, like Mary and Joseph. We shall be full of joy if our Lord is really present in our life. If we have not lost him, if we have not allowed our sight to be clouded by tepidity or lack of generosity, by sour faces or coldness of heart. Oftentimes, we search for God among other paths, which only serve to lead us further from our Lord. The only thing we find along these other paths, though, are sorrow and misery. All those who, in one way or another, ever turned away from our Lord have had the same experience. They have shown time and time again that apart from God, there is no true happiness, because there can be none. We will not find God at the bottom of a bottle. We will not find him at the top of a mountain of money, but we will find him in silence, in prayer, in humility, in truth, in goodness, in beauty, and in joy. That's where we find God. But to find Christ and remain in his company is to possess a deep happiness which is new each and every day. My brothers and sisters, are we happy? Are we truly filled with joy? It's okay if we're not. It can be hard. But I can tell you that God wants your happiness. In the same way that you parents want your kids to be happy, God wants you to be happy, wants each of us to be happy. I can tell you from experience that the joy that we're all looking for comes from prayer and a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the only kind of happiness that lasts for more than a moment in time, because it lasts for all eternity. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention almost an exception to this rule of happiness, of prayer and relationship with Jesus Christ. There are some of us who struggle with serious depression and anxiety and other various ailments. And it becomes exceedingly difficult, almost impossible, to find any happiness, any joy in the world, even with Christ. I want to tell you that there is nothing wrong if you need therapy. There's nothing wrong if you need medicine to help. God has given us doctors and science for a reason. And we'd be foolish if we somehow thought that God doesn't also use those tools to help us grow closer to him. I mention this because I've met many well-meaning Catholics who avoid seeking help outside of prayer because there's stigma and stuff attached to it. And I'm telling you that God wants your wellness, your health, your happiness, your joy, and your holiness. And it's okay if we have to go to doctors and take medicine. Christ is the divine physician, but just as we are his hands that care for the poor, doctors are his hands that care for the sick, whether physically or mentally. So it's okay to let them. My brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice, because the Lord is near. So let us turn to him this Advent season and ask him to be near to us.